encountered the first time a lot of Shabbat students. And we have a lot in common. We're all Jewish. And then the second Shabbos I come to the alumni, the people of Yom Ilk, which is really a big chutz for me and a really a massive pleasure that I'm zochet to, because I now observe you and then I saw you usually in the last number of years, but initially I remember from your initial encounter with you, and wow, I said to myself, the Ribbono Shel Olam does miracles. Nisim Gluyim that was zochet to. You see the transformation of people in the course of a year, two, three, four, whatever it may be. And it's a very beautiful thing to see. You see that B'nai Torah become Talmidei Chachamim and mature tremendously. And usually a little bit after that, sometimes I'm zochet to see people under the chuppah. And that's really a time for a veil of tears. To imagine that, look what happened. You actually see the evolution, an incredible evolution. So Baruch Hashem, I'm zochet. Tonight I told Rabbi El-Malei, right after I found out that we're going to have a bris on Shabbos, I would like to come on Shabbos, Malam Malka. And so Baruch Hashem, I'm happy I'm here, and I really thank you very much for even showing up. I'm sure you have better things to do with your life, but Baruch Hashem, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want to first talk about, I think, a very fundamental yesod, which is in the Parsha. I'll just try to relate to things in the Parsha, to the extent that I can. The first yesod I'm going to tell you is not a chiddush, it shouldn't be a chiddush in Osiyu, but there may be a number of chiddushim along the way that I hope you will appreciate. There's a pasuk here, I don't know if you have a chumash, you know something? That would be a bad idea if we could get some fresh maybe.
Joe, you didn't bring your
book.
I have it, I wrote it for my copy. Maybe you'll turn off that, whatever, just wait a few seconds. So. Good morning, Tov. How are you? If you look in Parag Memches, Pasuk Yedalin, Tesvav, Tezayin, Dizayin, 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 the Torah tells us, this is the story of Menashe of Ephraim, a very famous discussion that the Torah has, that Yaakov Avinu takes his right hand, Yoshes Arosh Ephraim, Hu Atzair, Yesmolo Arosh Menashe. This is the Rabbi Yadua, well-known episode. Sikelas Yadav ki Menashe Abachor. That's a fascinating expression. Sikelas Yadav. I'm reading Breishis Memches, Perek Memches, Pasuk Yudalin, and a series of psukim. So of course Yosef responds a few psukim later. Vayomer Yosef Elavim, Lochein Avi, Ki Zeh Abachor, Simni Mincha Al Rosho, Vayimanein Avi. Vayomer Yadati Bni Yadati, Gavu Yelahom, Gavu Yigdo, Ve'ulam Achiv HaKatom, Yigdal Mimenu, Mezaro, Yiyem Elah Goyim. So Yaakov Avinu defends his position. Yadati b'ni Yadati. Very fascinating, careful lashon. He's also going to become someone of greatness. However, his younger brother, named Ephraim, will be greater than him. Bizarro yiyem lo agoyim. So what does it mean? Achiv akotom yigdal mimenu. So Rashi on the spot has an incredible comment, which I'm going to focus on. Rashi right there says, Sha'asid Yoshua Lassis Mimenu. Yoshua is going to emerge from the loins of Ephraim. She'yamchil Sa'aret, the Yalami Torah Yisrael. Yoshua will have two elements to him, two aspects to him. One is that he's going to be the one who will ultimately be Manchil Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua, as you know, in the whole setting, Yoshua is primarily devoted to this idea. Yoshua actually is the one who was involved in Kibush Sa'aretz, in capturing Eretz Yisrael, but not just capturing Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi says a second element, the Alami Torah Yisrael. Rashi combines two elements here. So just hold on to that, and then we will discuss it. The simple pshat in this Rashi is based on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, from Masor Yoshua. Yoshua is the one who became the one who transmitted the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua the Zkenim. And he did this, undoubtedly you also remember that Yoshua did so, the way the Medrash writes in Pinchas, the reason is because that he was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu. The Lashon Rambam in the Hakdamah to Mishnah Torah, Soloveitchik Tzatzal was always very fond of this Rambam, said it over many, many times, that there were three people who received the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar, Yeshua, and Pinchas, and they were, apparently, Elazar and Pinchas, Yosef Mimulachim Yoshua Binun. Soloveitchik translated the word Mimulachim as being intellectually acute. They were more intellectually acute than Yeshua Binun. So why was he chosen to become the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Rambam, Yeshua, who Talmid of Moshe Rabbeinu, Masa Torah Shem Apeh Mitzivah Olam, because he's the Talmud Muvlak of Moshe Rabbeinu. In what sense? In the sense of what the Torah tells us in a number of times, namely, Yeshua Binu Nar Lo Yomish B'Toch Ha'Ol. And the Gemara says in Brachas, since many of you seem to be learning Daf Yomi, at least in Masechet Brachas, G'dayla Shimusha Shal Torah Yesim Limuda. More important than even learning Torah is being Meshamish Tamil Chachachim, serving them, ministering to them. So the Medrash writes in Pinchas, Yeshua Bin Nun, he, number one, was Mesader Safsalim Mesabedrish, he set up all the chairs, Paras Machzalos, he spread the mats, he was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, because of that, he became the successor of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rav gave a Moshe Lamadov Adomim to the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Some of you may have heard of the Baal Shem Tov. It's actually a bit out of my league. But anyway, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, he had many Talmidim. Among them were, probably the biggest Talmud Chacham that he had, was a very famous personality, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Mipolanya. You'll have to ask Rabbi Olshin, he'll tell you about him undoubtedly. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Mipolanya is the Talmud Chacham Otzur. He did not become the successor to the Baal Shem Tov. Who became the successor? The Mezvit Shev Agid. Why did he become the successor? Rav Soloveitchik called him the Lima Bear, the Lima Bee. Not sure exactly why, but he became the successor because he was Meshamish the Baal Shem Tov. And G'dayla Shimush Shal Torah Yesim Yehuda. The Rabban said a whole shiur in the summer on Pirkei Avos, what exactly the function of Pirkei Avos is, and he pointed out, very often in Pirkei Avos they have the expression, Hu Haya Omer, the way the Bartanura writes, Magalav Pume, that he was accustomed to saying the following, but Rav Soloveitchik noted, essentially what's happening in the entire Pirkei Avos is the Pirkei Avos is recording for posterity Hanhogos, a great Tanoim, great Amam, essentially people of Dali Eilam, and now these practices are those that they want us to model ourselves after. They are the role models par excellence, these great Tanoim, and we have to go and be Mishamish them and try our best to see if we can absorb asmatically these Midos, these character traits that they have, and as a result, we can become, shall we say, outstanding people. And this is based on the idea of Shimush. So going back now to the this pasuk, this psukim that I started with before, so Rashi here tells us that Yeshua eventually is going to be Manchel Eretz Yisrael, be Olami Torah of Israel. Now it's true that from Menashe also came Anoshim Gedolim. Rashi on the spot here, if you take a look at Rashi, you're familiar with it, if you learned Rashi, I'm sure you did, that from Menashe also Anoshim Gedolim are going to emerge, namely Gidon. Gidon, of course, is a Shofet par excellence. He's mentioned in the Shoftim. Where is that? Perek Vav. Anyway, so Gidon was mentioned in Shoftim. He was someone of great stature. He was a Shofet. He was also Moshiach, Klal Yisrael. However, he was not in the same madrega of Yeshua that emerged from Ephraim. Yeshua and Gidon are not comparable. That's exactly what Rashi is trying to tell us. And in effect, what Rashi is saying, and Rashi continues, if you look at the Rashi over here in Bereshis, so Rashi comments, Shekol Ha'olam Yismali, it says Shema Ushmo, that Yeshua ben Nun, his fame is going to be spread far and wide. Sheyamid Chama Begibon V'Yareach V'Emek Ayalon. Remember the story over there when he was able to literally control the movement of the sun. I'm not going to go into the details of that, but that was obviously a great nest as a result. So here, Yaakov Avinu is Makdim Ephraim to Menashe. Now the question is, why is that so? Why was Ephraim Zoche to achieve and to come to that level far beyond that of Menashe? So, Balabata Shepshat, I would say based on the Rashi and Bereshis also, in this week's Pasha, the Rashi comments in Perek Memches, Pasuk Aleph, the Rashi said, because Ephraim was Yerogel of the Yaakov at Talmud. Ephraim used to learn with, he learned with his grandfather. He spent a lot of time with his grandfather. I learned with a lot of my grandchildren, Baruch Hashem. They're way beyond me, in Shem Safek. One of the pluses of coming to Eretz Yisrael is that he even happened to know Lashon HaKodesh. They actually speak Hebrew fluently. Some of their English skills leave what to be desired, but Hebrew they speak quite well. As a result, they have a head start on every single Shanal student in this yeshiva when they were 5 and 4 and 3 and 2. That's a maila, and a big maila. Among the reasons to come to Eretz Yisrael, among the thousand reasons, going to my humble opinion, make aliyah, is to acquire the rudiments of Lashon HaKodesh, and that will help you in Mishnayos and Gemara and Tanakh and Chumash and learning Ramban and the like. Anyway, so Ephraim was Rogel with Yaakov at Talmud. Menashe, what's his role? In Perek Mem Gimel, I was thinking, the Torah describes him, Ha'ish Asher al Beit Yosef. He was the man in charge of Yosef's entire household. He was the supervisor, administrator, That's what he did. And he was involved, obviously, with all the other business elements that were necessary in Mitzrayim. That's what says in Medrash. And he had to be Menahel, all the Inyani Amalchus, all the royal elements that were involved in running such a massive household. So he doesn't really have the same amount of time to learn Torah from Yaakov Avinu as Ephraim did. That's a simple shot why Ephraim precedes Menashe. But there's a Yesod Gadol here that I heard from Rabbein many, many times. Namely, as chashev as a melech is, however, who's more chashev, a Talmid Chacham, is clearly has preeminence over a melech. Yaakov is more mechabed Ephraim because he's involved in the study of Torah. But then Menashe, who's also in Malchus, there's no question, but for Hesia, it may not necessarily be the case. The Rambam Paskin's Alocha in the Hilchos Melachim, I think it's in the second paragraph of the Rambam Hilchos Melachim, where he points out that publicly, that the din is the Talmid Chacham has to stand up before a melech, has to listen to a melech. We know there's a din of being mechabed the melech. Rashi quotes in this week's Pasha. I imagine you came across it. Rashi twice in Chumash mentions it. Once in this week's Pasha, and later on in Shemos, Rashi quotes on the Pasuk, V'yod v'kol abadecha eilei elai, v'shtachu li leimor, means that there's a din that is supposed to honor a melech. Even Par Melech Mitzrayim has to be honored. And he was honored by Moshe Abeinu and Aaron. They treated him with the derech eretz and respect that a king actually is afforded, it should be afforded. So that's the din. Rashi quotes in this week's Pasha as well. Perhaps you remember when the story of my father used to call him Ahab, Achav. So Achav, if you look at Malachim Aleph, actually, you see over there, in the program they deal with Eliyahu HaNavid, Perkei Zayin, Perkei Ches, Perkei Tes, and Chav over there, so all the program that he literally, Eliyahu HaNavid, runs after Achav. What is that? It's based on this halacha, cover the Malchus, it's supposed to show cover. Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, many times in the Chumash for Igros Moshe, speaks about what should be the attitude of an American towards the government. So the United States government, you don't have to agree with them necessarily, but there's a din, I assume, in many of your shuls, they also say the tefillah about Shalom HaMedina. That's a Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. And Mizbalah B'Shalom Shemachus, Shemoli Marash Shemachus, Ish Yisrael, Chayim Lo. That's a Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, it's also a din in Shechon Aruch, it's called by the Poskim. I think they say that's such a tefillah. When I grew up, actually, in America, many, many years ago, as a young child, so the Rav of a certain shul, I don't think I mention his name now, but there were presidents that there were weeks he did not like what the president did, especially Klape where? Klape Eretz Yisrael. He was not happy with the president's posture towards Eretz Yisrael. And that week he didn't say the tefillah about Shalom HaMedina. So initially I'm 5 or 6 years old. I said to my father, what's going on here? Why is it this week he's not saying the tefillah? So then my father explained to me, he's a European fellow. He came to America. He was a product of the Shoah, of the Holocaust. He lost his wife and children in the Shoah. I mentioned him a number of times in the past. And he remarried, Baruch Hashem, he was offered to one son. That one son has 8 or 9 children. Mamish, that's the biggest nekama against the Hitler Yimach Shemai B'Zichroi, that Baruch Hashem, his family continues. So he said the tefillah when he was happy with the president as far as he stands towards Eretz Yisrael. And he was not happy, he didn't say the tefillah. I figured that out after a while, because most of the time he wasn't saying the tefillah. Once in a while he would say the tefillah. I found that to be hilarious. A rather jocular kind of position, comical in nature. And it sounded to be very, quite funny. I don't think there is such a halacha as far as I know. But anyway, he had tremendous da'acheretz though, because he was a European Jew. And European Jews generally have more da'acheretz for the situation that they're in and the like. Okay, I'm trying not to avoid getting involved in anything political, so maybe I'll just leave it at that. But because that's not the issue I want to talk about. But what I want to talk about is that there's a din, of course, that a Talmid Chacham. Certainly, Bitzina, so a melech has to get up before a Talmid Chacham. The Gemara says in Ksubas, if you have any difficulties with any Gemaras that I call, you just speak to Rabbi Abrik and he'll right away find you the Gemara in about 2.5 seconds. So the Gemara in Ksubas actually has a famous Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda. My father used to call him Jumping Jehoshaphat. And the reason why he called him that, because the Gemara says that when he would see a Talmid Chacham, he would jump up out of his throne, jump up from his throne, Bechapko, Menashko, he would kiss the Talmid Chacham, he would hug the Talmid Chacham. And it would actually say that Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Mori. I guess Lashon Gemara Ksubis, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, Mitzara Emes, a Talmid Chacham is certainly more chasher than a Melech. However, there's no question that a Talmid Chacham also has to be kafuf to a Melech as well. That's the Rambam of the Melachim that I mentioned a second ago. Anyway, I'll just give you a further example of this, and I think this is no get to this issue of Ephraim and Menashe. The Gemara says that if the Talmid Chacham and the king Nafu Bashebi, if they're taken into captivity, Chas v'Shalom, so of course, what's the din regarding Hatzolah? Who do you say first? The Talmid Chacham. Why do you say Talmid Chacham before Melech Yisrael? The answer is, the Gemara says in Hurius, Chacham Shemeis, The Gemara says when he Chas V'Shalom dies, Ein Lanu Kiyotzei Bo. He's not replaceable. Any time the Chacham that Klal Yisrael has lost in the last number of years, unfortunately, every year there are some rather elderly Talmidei Chachamim, even though you may have heard only one name from Rabbi Oblowski, because he only talks about Rav Steinman, the Chassid Derocha, who was a powerhouse, who was a towering powerhouse, and Shum Safek. But there are many other Talmidei Chachamim. Just recently, another great Talmid Chacham, you probably don't know, a brother of Rabbi Meshe Sternberg, he's a youngster, he must be 93, 94, so his older brother was Nifta, Rav Dov Sternberg. So I actually met him once, and I was astounded at the massive Talmid Chacham that this other brother is very, very tzanua, not so well known at all. He was just Nifta this week, and a great Talmid Chacham that passed on, and we have to be cognizant of their accomplishments, of their learning. So the reason why I say this is because the Gemara says Chacham Shemeis Enlan Kiyotzei Bo, while Melech, the Gemara says Shemeis Kol Yisrael Ruim LaMalchus. That's the Gemara in Hurgis. Anyone who calls yourself could become a Melech. Anyone. You're all B'nai Melechim. It's clear. You're all aristocrats. That's Pashut. Anyone who knows you, as I do a little bit, knows that you are of an aristocratic, royal nature. So anyone can be a Melech. Now the Chisaron of a Melech, you could easily handle. It could easily be replaced. The Melech Mashenkin, the Talmid Chacham, that Chisaron, E'efshar L'Hashlim. There's no way that you could replace the Talmid Chacham. The Talmid Chacham Shemeis, as I said, Le'en Anki Yotzibo. Literally, he's irreplaceable. And so, Baruch Hashem, we have here at Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, there are a lot of Talmid Chachamim, thank God. And of course, all of you are going to become Talmid Chacham as well. So we're just going to swell the ranks of Talmid Chacham. That's what we're out to do. And Metz Hashem, hopefully all of you will achieve that. But a Talmid Chacham like this person, B'diyuk, who passed away, ain't. There's no one of his ilk, no one of his stature. That's Lashon Gemara, ain lanu ki yetzei bo. There's no one like that Talmid Chacham, and it's very fascinating that every Talmid Chacham is a berei b'fnei atzmo. He's really, I look around in the yeshiva, we have in the yeshiva some outstanding Talmid Chachamim. I'm speaking about the Rabbeim in our yeshiva, and also you have others from the Gruz Kodesh, also outstanding Talmid Chachamim, each one in their own right. And you really have such a smorgasbord here, Talmid Chachamim. Wow. I would wish to be in such a yeshiva. I think I am. But I'm not a Talmid, so that's a problem. So I don't have access to them the way you do. You have more access to these Talmid Chachamim, and we also have some outstanding Avreichim, Madrichim. One of them sits in the room right now. You just have to get accustomed to his, shall we say, colorful personality. But Baruch Hashem, I think he's an outstanding Talmid Chacham, and I won't mention by name because, you know, anyway, but there are people that you can talk to in learning and you could actually really gain tremendous amount from. So each one is a Yochid. So now, going back to Ephraim and Menashe, that's why Yaakov is Makdim Ephraim to Menashe. Ephraim is more of an Ish Torah, more of a Ben Torah. Menashe is more of a, what do you want to call him, political figure? A Manhig, a Melech, unquestionably. And the Brisa says, we know there's a Brisa in Pirkei Avos, how many miles does it take to acquire Malchus? I don't know if you remember, 30 miles. How many miles does it take to acquire Torah? 48. Mem Ches, Dvorim HaTorah Niktes Bayam. Each one requires enormous amount of work. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. I'm sure you're all involved in that Mishnah. So you see that the Malos of the Melech are relatively, again, compared to a Talmid Chacham, are not so difficult to achieve. Mashenkin, a Talmid Chacham, have to work very hard in order to acquire those Malos. And maybe a Talmid Chacham is better than a Melech. And that's exactly one Yisod is learned from this Pasha. Very fundamentally Yisod. Now, I'll just go a bit further, since I started already, and we'll mention that even now, this already requires a chumash. So you have chumashim. So perhaps you'll be able to see this. That even from Ephraim, we have also a melech that emerges from Ephraim. Moshe Rabbeinu, if you remember, if you just take one of the chumashim, since I don't have a chumash gracious. Thank you very much. So here, take a look in, we'll start over here. We'll just do a little bit of a survey on chumash, if you don't mind. Yoshua, as you know, was from which Shevet? Shevet Ephraim. That Rashi indicates very clearly. By the way, just to show it to you, look at the beginning of Shlach in Bamidbar, Perikim Gimel Pasuk Ches. There the Torah says, when you have a litany, a list of all the the Nesiyim of the Shvatim. So it says in it's on page 368 in my tabulation. Make it easier. Perhaps you give a pasuk first. It says the Mati Ephraim Hoshea Ben Nun. It's the only word I taught in this yeshiva, is pagination. that's what I did in this yeshiva. That's what I accomplished all the years.
There's another word.
One or two others.
Victims.
Columbus.
Which word? Columbus?
Columbus. Alumnus.
Oh, alumnus. Yeah, excellent. Very good. That's Allah Rabbi Avrik, okay? And there are one or two others, thank you, Noah. Lemati Ephraim or Shem Benun. So he comes from Shem Ephraim. So now let's look in the Dvarim, in Perek, the end of Sefer Dvarim. Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayela. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Vayela, as you know, this is, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, towards the end of his life.
507.
Thank you. So here, Vayikra Moshe Yoshua, page 507, thank you. Vayikra Moshe Yoshua, Vayom Elav, Vayikol Yisrael Chazak Ve'emotz, Ki Atot Tavo Es HaMazeh. Right away, of course, you should know this. I'm sure you did know this right away. Tavo Es HaMazeh. That is Hebrew that leaves a lot to be desired. Anyone who has some semblance of the Hebrew language. This is what my grandchildren ask me all the time. By the way, they notice these things at the age of 5, 6, and 7. Josh, maybe you'll help us because you're very skilled in the Hebrew language. What does it mean? What's the literal translation? You, tavo es ha'amazeh. What does the es, of course, mean over here? You will come. What does it mean, es ha'amazeh? You will come to the people. How do you translate? I don't know the literal translation.
With.
What? Of course it means with. Ki ato tavo ima ha'amazeh. So why does the Torah express it? Ki ato tavo es ha'amazeh. I'll give you an example of what I call cumbersome language, just to show you. This is not included in the time I'm going to spend here. But if you look for a moment, the passage of B'Shalach and Shmos. I saw this actually in a very beautiful sefer called Shiloh Avi at the end of B'Shalach. I'll give an example of things that trouble me and should trouble you when you read a pasuk. If you read it carefully, which Baruch Hashem, many of you, not all of you, do. In Perek Zayin, page 168. Pagination 168, thank you, Aaron. So, Perek Yuzayin, so the Torah said the following. And there's a whole beautiful Shiva Torah there. I saw this in Shana Obi. Vayisu kaladas b'nei Yisrael mivid barsin. All of Klal Yisrael traveled. The Maseyam api Hashem, they're in their route of traveling. Vayachadu b'fidim, they encamp in b'fidim. And now we have these four words, which I translated. I think I wrote it in English, if I'm not mistaken. Vei mayim lishto sa'am, literally translated, there was no water to drink the people. So I don't know why Oscar refused to translate it that way. They should have. They mind mishdosam. There was no water to drink the people. Why didn't they translate that? What should it have said? There are a number of ways of saying it. They mind mishdiatam. They mind lam mishdot. There are a number of ways of saying it in proper Hebrew. We all understand that. This is cumbersome language. And there's a lot of other cumbersome language there that I decided to. I spoke to the author of Shiloh Avi, and he felt also it was worthy of discussion, and he thereby analyzed it, and I think came to the proper maskana. The kids are over here. I'm going back over here in the end of the Torah. When you learn this pasuk, so Rashi right away comments. You have a Rashi in front of you on pasuk Zayin. Im amo hodei. Rashi translates it, but where does Rashi take this from? There's only one place Rashi could have taken this from. Look at pasuk Zayin. And of course, the Targum. Often Rashi cites the Targum of course, and that's what the Targum says. Should I give you another example of what I'm talking about? I guess I have to. When I get married, I don't know if my Rebbe Sin Shlita remembers this, perhaps not. It's only married for a year or two. Anyway, so even though we have grandchildren who are married, Baruch Hashem. So now. There's a pasuk in Kitzetze. I'm sort of just going slightly, if you don't mind, off the cuff, just to show you again another famous issue. On page 489 in Dvarim, which makes it easiest way, the pagination way, Perek Chavdalit, Pasuk K, Ki Kach Ish Isha Chadasha, but it's in Batzavah, when you're married, when you're newly married, don't go to the army, Lo Yavar Allah B'chol Dvar, No Ki Yadah B'to Shana Achad, you should be free and be connected to your... A wife should be connected to her hubby, and the hubby should be connected to his spouse. And it says, "V'sima chasishu asher lokach." Now here, there's a very fascinating comment of Rashi, famous comment. "V'sima es ishto asher lokach." So take a look over here in the Targum. Let's see what the Targum does with this pasuk. Pasuk A, the end of the Pasuk, V'yachde yos itisei d'nasa. That's very good. He takes the word as and translates it literally. Comes Rashi, down on the bottom, and Rashi presents to us a very new element, Besimach, in the middle of the right-hand column. Says Rashi, Besimach, Yisamach et ishto, V'taguma v'yachde yos itisei, V'ametagim v'yachde im itisei toeh. Rashi says, if you translate it, Yisimach im ishto, you are mistaken. Wow. Shane's the Targum Shell. Rashi said they have to know some dictic over here. This would not be the Targum of Vesimach, Elo, Vesomach. Anyway, at my Sheva Brachas, about 46 years ago, so I spoke about this Rashi. And I said, what are the 2 days in Rashi, whether it should be read Vesimach Esishto, Vesimach Imishto? I asked the following question, which is not my kasha, the Chaschinov told us on this, and others as well. Namely, who's the Bailam on that Simcha? Who is Chayev? In Simcha, who is the recipient of the Simcha? Who is the one who has to carry it out? Of course, you'll answer right away. Who would you say? The husband, oh. Correct? That's what it seems to say. V'simach es ishto, asher lokach. She is not the bailam, he's the bailam. So now the question is, should she be meichel on that Simcha? She said, no, I don't have to be v'simcha. That's the whole discussion. And probably he's talking on this question, whether it's v'simach es or v'simach im. If it's v'simach im, then both of them are involved. Isha by the Masamcha, but is she a player or is she not a player? That's the question. Okay, I'm not going into it. I just want to show you the word S. Sometimes it's translated by the Targum S, sometimes it's translated in, and this goes throughout Chumash. I have no time now to explore all the places. I would be saying a totally different Shia, which I can do. I've explored the matter a number of times. Very interesting. Yes?
How could Rashi, Rashi the Rishon, argue on Unkelos who lived in the time of?
Rashi is not arguing on Unkelos. Rashi is simply telling you that if you translate it not the way Unkelos translates, you disagree. If you translate it a different way, then you make a mistake. Rashi is very, very connected to Targum Unkelos, I would say unbelievably so. Not just Rashi, but one more, even more than Rashi is the Rambam. The Rambam contended that the only Mefarsh HaChumash that he knows is Targum Unkelos, there's nobody else. And it could be in the days of the Rambam, there weren't too many Mefarsh, that's probably true. But the Rambam is very, very concerned about many Rishonim, by the way, discussed by the Ramban of Ayigash, which I'm sure you went through, the long Ramban of Ayigash, where the Torah describes the Yaakov Avinu, he was frightened of going down to Egypt, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him in a dream and says, Anochi Eirei Imcha Mitzrayma, Eirei Imcha Mitzrayma, means Hashem is going down. That's not, it sounds like Hashem is physical, or composed of a corporeal body, and the like. Of course, as you know, that the Targum Unkelos is incredibly Zohir, never to translate things having to do with Hashem Yisbarach in a physical fashion. He's very, very worried about any kinds of emotional expressions or physical expressions. Hashem is happy, and Hashem is sad, and Hashem is a Chabadnik, and Hashem is a Neo Hasidic, I don't know, whatever it is. Anyway, he doesn't go for any of that. Hashem ain't no good, ain't no masik, one of you did the Rambam. So the Rambam loved Targum Unkelos. The Rambam is over there, and that pasuk, Hashem is going down, translates the Targum, Anochi not Izgalei, as he normally translates, Hashem will reveal himself, but rather he translates, Anochi, Echos, I'm going to go down. I'm going down into the dungeons of Egypt with you. So the right away, the Ramban is alerted to this. The Ramban was also Mother Buchim alerted to it. And the Ramban then develops a famous thesis of, which is known as the thesis of Imo Anochi Betzara, Ani Hashem Ashokin Imo Besoch Tumosa, Bechol Tzorosim Lotzor, that's what the Ashba writes in the Tshuva. And that's Mishnah Sanhedrin, Gemara Sanhedrin, Kalanim Hershey, Kalanim Israeli, and he develops the whole, also the Hoshanah, as you're probably familiar with it, you might probably aware of Chaim Shalom and Shmuz, when he spoke about this. V'otzeisi Eschem, Mokum V'otzeisi Itchem, Hashem is going down with you into that, Ba'is Hashem Shomei, Mokum Tumah, Mitzvahim is Mokum Tumah. I mean, we know there's a lot of Kemis Tumah, there's Tumah Seretz Ha'amim, like you're familiar with, Olig Abed Zorah, which has a lot about Tumah Seretz Ha'amim, and you live in Tumah Seretz Ha'amim. You're somehow Zoyche to live in a Mokum Tumah. Okay. I hope, Yes Hashem, eventually you'll emerge from that. But anyway, presently, you are still in the Mokum Tumah, and hopefully you'll be, you read the Lutzach Aliyah, that's when Abban develops this idea of Ayigash. Okay, this is not included in any of this discussion, I'm happy. I just mentioned it because of Besimach Es and Besimach Im, you see that this issue comes up back now in Dvarim. Okay, now you can turn the clock back on. Anyway, so, here we have a Pasuk in Dvarim, Laman Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Rabbi Abbott, you wanted to say something.
There are places where Rashi does argue with
Unkelos. Yes, he does, but rarely. It is not often that Rashi argues with Unkelos, because as mentioned by Joey, Unkelos, the Gemara says in the Sinai, I said, Mishnah Berurah, in the Din of Shnayim Mikra Vechatagum, Mishnah Berurah, we had the Gemara. Wow, today's daf, in Brachas. But I barely was able to discuss it. Shnayim Mikra V'Targum. When my first yotzat, she had said for my father's, that's how many, many years ago, so I discussed the parameters of Shnayim Mikra V'Targum. I'm very into that halacha. My father was very makbid about it. He knew Kumar V'Targum Ulus by heart. Kumar by heart. Balabas knows Targum Ulus by heart. You don't find too many Rosh Hashiva know Targum Ulus by heart, but my father was a Balabas who knew that he spent many, many hours learning Targum Ulus. He loved Targum Ulus. Fell in love with it. I don't know exactly. My father liked languages in general. He spoke a number of them. Greek, Latin, German, Spanish. Spanish he spoke fluently. Greek he spoke fluently. It's all Greek to me. But he spoke a few other languages as well that he picked up along the way. He had a polyglot, very good chushva language that I was not zeicher to inherit. But anyway, the Unkelus is really a paramount figure, and you see from that Gemara that you refer to Megillah, you see he's a paramount figure. The Rishon LeZion quotes that Dafka, the Megillah of Unkelus, as opposed to Art Scroll. Art Scroll is very nice. Art Scroll is beautiful. I don't use it b'chlal, but Art Scroll is beautiful. Ain't shum safek. I have a lot of Art Scrolls. I have one right here. Thank you. So I'm very makitel to this Art Scroll, which I thank God is in Lashon HaKodesh, and also Manuka to help people like me who can't read. Anyway, so the Art Scroll is fantastic, no doubt about it. As long as you don't use it as a crutch and you try to use it and then quickly try to go to the Gemara on your own and try to figure out afterwards. Okay, so back over here in Dvarim Laman Alf Zayin. So it says, Vayuka Moshe Yeshua, Vayomer Lo, Vayikol Yisrael Chazak, Vayamot Ki Atot Tovo Es Am Azeh. So that's what should trouble you, that language right away. El Aras Hashinish V'Hashem Ha'afsim La'avos Nosei Slehem. So what does that mean? So Rashi, it's Adet, and I think it's Rashi and Davches. Rashi and Sadet, and he quotes this Gemara, you probably learned Sadet recently, no? Ki Atot Tovo Es Am. So Rashi says, Mashma Gam Atot Ki Echad Mehem. That's all Shri Rashi over there, I believe. Namely, that though Rashi says, you and the Zikne Ador together are going to be reminding the people. Look at Rashi here. You want to see Rashi here? Look at Rashi over here, right in front of you. Rashi in Dvarim. Ki at Totamos Amazeh, Areat Teil Imam Hadein, Moshe Amal Yeshua, Skenim Shibador Yu Imcha, Akolo Vidait Nabat Sosem. Aber Kodesh Boch Amal Yeshua, Ki Atot Tobi Es Bnei Yisrael, El Oros Hashem Nishbatu Lehem, Tobi Al Korchem, Al Kol Toli Bicha. And Rashi says, Tul Makel, Vahach, Al Kod Kodon. Now this, by the way, goes on what Hashem right away tells Yeshua. Take a look in Dvarim Laman Al Chav Gimel. I just read Pasuk Zayin. Now look in Chav Gimel over here. In Chav Gimel, the Pasuk says, "Vayitzavas Yeshua benun vayom chazak ve'emot." Seems to be very similar to the Pasuk that's found in Pasuk Zayin. Except there it said, Moshe speaks to Yeshua, "Le'ini kol Yisrael chazak ve'emot ki atot tovo esal mazeh." What does it say over here in Chav Gimel? Vayitzavas Yeshua benun. So right away you see two different psukim, and here Rashi is referring to the second pasuk in Chav Gimel. Rashi in pasuk Zayin is referring to the second pasuk in Chav Gimel, where Hashem, in effect, tells Yeshua, "You're going to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael." And Rashi comments over here, "Tul Makel," Hashem says, "V'achal Kol Kodam." What does that mean? Take a stick and whack him over the head. A little translation. Namely, Rashi goes on. The last line in Rashi. I'm reading again the Rashi over here at the bottom of Pasuk Zayin. Dabor echad ledor v'lo shnei dabarim ledor. This word is not known. It's a very unusual word. What does it mean? Dabor patach komatz. Not dabor echad. There's no such thing. Dabor echad ledor v'in shnei dabarim ledor. What does the word dabor mean? You are the manik, you are the melech. And there's no need to ask this kenim. Everything hakol toli b'cha. Everything is toli on you. Which seems to be that there's a stira in the psukim. Namely, once again, if you look at the earlier pasuk Zayim, so there it's understood by Chazal that you are going to join together with Zikni Ador to be mani klav Yisrael. And this pasuk, the way Rashi interprets it, Chav Gimel, tells you no, you are the mani. You're going to be the leader, and there's no other leadership. You are the leader. You're acting actually alone. And you'll be the one who's going to be in charge over here. I don't know, I assume you are probably aware, let me just mention the simple pshat when you read the psukim. The simple pshat when you read these two psukim is maskana the following. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake when he told Yoshua ben Nun not to be the one who's going to direct the door alone, but together with his kingdom. And here Hashem Yisbarach, he corrects that mistake of Moshe Rabbeinu. That would be the simple pshat in the psukim. What does Hashem tell Yeshua, tells him what exactly is going to happen. But obviously, to make such a statement is utterly ridiculous. That Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake, made an error. Moshe Rabbeinu did not make any errors, chas v'sholom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about Tzvei Dinim. There's a dialectic right here. Namely, a dialectical process that's taking place as far as Yeshua's role. Yeshua Mitzad Echad is the one who's told to do what? He's the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And in that respect, what does he do? He teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's what Sanhedrin does. The Rambam Hilchos Maamrim, which you're familiar with, the Rambam said that Sanhedrin is the Torah Shebaal Peh. They are the Amud HaOrah, Mayim Yotzei, Torah to Yisrael. So that's one role of Yeshua Ben Nun as the head of Sanhedrin. There's another role of Yeshua Ben Nun. He's also a military leader, and his function is to capture Eretz Yisrael and to be Mechalik Eretz Yisrael to all the Shvatim. As you know, if you studied Sefer Yeshua, I imagine you probably studied Sefer Yeshua. You have. You learn Tanakh. The only few individuals who learn Tanakh. There's a Rashi in Brochus in the fourth pair. So that's Hashacha. Did you get there yet?
Not that. Yomi.
Oh, Daf Yomi will get there probably in a few days, I imagine.
Blast Daf Yomi.
Okay, what?
Blast Daf Yomi will get there.
Ah, yes, that's true. And his Daf Yomi Adal, he'll get there probably tomorrow. So there's the Gemara says over there in Brochus, Minu Benechem Ha'igoyim. So Rashi says, Al Tagilu B'mikro Yosi Midai. Doesn't say Al Tagilim B'mikra, don't learn Mikra, but Yosef Midai, not too much. So Gabe, my Rebbe over here, he loves Tanakh, but not too much. Only 24 Svarim of Tanakh, you have to learn a Talmud Chacham, has to be Kushut, Bechavdal Kishutim. Has to have 24 ornaments, 20 more raiments. That's what learning Tanakh is, 24 Svarim. Everyone should learn Tanakh here. I'm not telling you how much time you should devote to Tanakh, but minimally 15 minutes a day. I think I told you, I did tell it to you, I'm positive I told it to you. For those who didn't hear, I'll tell it again. I had a Rebbe in 8th grade, an Adam Goldberg. Of course, we didn't know Rav Shalom that he was an Adam Goldberg. How are we supposed to know in 8th grade? Thank you. Most of these people don't know in 12th grade that they have sometimes big Talmid Chacham in front of them, and many people don't even know it's a Shalal, Bet, Gimel, Dal, and Hey, but they have Talmid Chacham in front of them. Okay. But generally, Baruch Hashem, things have improved. Shalom. I have a positive outlook on the door. I hope you too as well. I'm sure you do. But anyway, so this Rebbe was came to the United States to Ellis Island. Ellis Island was the port of entry for many would-be refugees who came from Europe. And at the port of entry, he encountered a pakid. How do you translate pakid? Officer, thank you. The one who was in charge of immigration. So this officer was a maskil. Now a maskil, I'm not going to go into the details of Haskalah right now, it would be take us far afield. If you're interested, you'll discuss it with Rav Avraham Shlita, he'll tell you all about maskilim and the like. Anyway, so a maskil, someone basically, he was a free thinker, he was not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, but he had tremendous knowledge of Tanakh. Generally maskilim are very into Tanakh. So he asked this Rebbe of mine, at the port of entry, what exactly do you plan on doing in this country, in U.S. of A? And he's speaking to him in Yiddish, because this rabbi only spoke Yiddish. Not speaking any other language. And this master do Yiddish. He said, what do you plan on doing here? So he said, what do you mean? I'm a rabbi. Chabdalent in the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai. We have some, another person in this room who learned in the Mir Yeshiva. But not Shanghai. And the kid says, so, Erkelan, the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai. He went to the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai. He learned there for many years. He was also Talmud Briskolov. Not too bad. Those two qualities, I learned by Rav Soloveitchik's uncle, Briskolov, Rav Yitzchak Zev, HaLevi Soloveitchik, in Rabbi Zinkin's room, used to be pictures of the Gdolei Yisrael. Were they removed?
Yeah.
Yeah. He took them.
Unbelievable. Pana Tzadik, Pana Ziva, Pana Hadara, that's it. No more Gdolei Yisrael. He leaves and takes all the Gdolei Yisrael with him. We have to cry over that. He's just clearly not feeling too well. Anyway, I have a full
show.
So
the Rosh Yeshiva was up there.
Yeah.
Oh, I was there for one other reason, for target practice. I was throwing your arrows. Anyway, so wow, took all the dirties fell down. Wasn't the members of the Soloveitchik family there?
Yeah.
The whole family,
not just members.
So he asked this Rebbe, who happened to be a goyim, Pashut a goyim, we didn't appreciate what he was. He asked him, okay, what do you plan on doing here? I'm going to be a Rebbe. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to teach Talmidim, in Yiddish, obviously. And that's what he did, but we taught in Yiddish. So I had him in the 8th grade, he taught in Yiddish. I happened to grow up in Yiddish locally, so I'm familiar with it. So my mother spoke Yiddish fluently, and my mother actually, Allah Hashem, used to, whenever she had shilas, even my Rebbe could attest to this. And my mother, who did she call up for shilas when she had shilas in Halacha? She called Rabbi Rabbanim, like most people call rabbis. I'll tell you whom she called on a weekly basis. Number one was Rabbi Shafansi Zatzal. She would call him on a weekly basis. She was on a first name basis, Kebab with Rabbi Shah. She told me she had a Shaila. If he wasn't available, then she called Rav Henkin. Not too bad. I don't know if you know where Rav Henkin was, but we don't. Okay, what can we do? And if that didn't work, she called Rabbi Shabik. There are three Gdali Eilam. It's an uncle of Ezra Bik. I don't know if you know Ezra Bik. He actually is a Rav in the Gush for many, many years, a big Talmud Chacham in Louis Shekhov. Anyway, so the so was his uncle, also in Louis Shekhov. Anyway, that's what my mother used to call on a weekly basis. We saw she had Hobnob a little bit done as well. Anyway, that's not a bad thing. So this Rebbe, he said, I'm going to be a Rebbe, I'm going to teach Torah. He said, okay, let me see if you know some Tanakh. I said, figure, wow, this is easy as cheese. Is that the expression? What's the expression? Easy, schmeezy. Easy, shut up, or tell me easy, schmeezy.
Easy, peasy, lemon squeezy.
Well, you can tell I'm not sure that works. How's that again? Easy, peasy, lemon squeezy. So what's the peasy part? I'm not sure. That's the tower pizza?
Just alliteration.
The leading tower pizza. And what's the other part? Lemon?
Squeezy.
Then you squeeze lemonade. What's the peasy part?
I think it's just alliteration.
And that with lemon. No, he's talking about now the tefalecha. That's the whole Mishnah Berurah, the sugar, the tea. Okay, it's not my problem, by the way. You can't say anything over here without having a havoc. He's like a Google. He asked everything. Anyway, so they asked this, what is he going to do over there? I'm going to teach Torah, etc. So Rabbi said, I want you to translate the following pasuk of Tanakh. If you translate this pasuk, I'm letting you in the country. All right, if you don't translate this pasuk, you're not getting to the country. I figured, wow, what could be? He didn't ask me a piece of Gemara in front of Nitta, in front of Nechta, none of that stuff, thank God. But he asked me a pasuk in Chumash. So he said, no, not even Chumash. And Megillas asked him, I said, wow, even easier than I thought it would be. Translate every single word. I tell them the following pasuk. Chur, karpas, uscheles. Ochuz bechabdibutzi argamon. Al, I have to be careful what I'm having. Ritzafas, bahat, boshesh, vidar visochoris. I don't want to go through the rest of the Megillah. But anyway, you have a posse. He says, translate each word. Chor. What does chor mean? Karpas. I know what karpas is. Don't we have it on the Seder night? Uscheles. Oh, we have Hefti Shema. We're in Cheles. They don't know how the Shabbat is. They don't know Hilchos and the Brachos. No, they wear Cheles. They're very holy people. That's the most important mitzvah in the Torah. Chor karpas uscheles. Achuz b'cham libutzi agomon. Al glibe chesem v'yamud eshesh. Mitos Zahava Chesed. Al, Ritzafas, Bahat. If you ask me, what's Bahat? I'll tell you some Indian tribe. What's Bahat? I don't have a clue what Bahat is. Boshesh. Vidar Bisocharis. So he started sweating bullets. This Adam Godel. The sweating bullets. He couldn't translate his word. He said, stop for the last word. Socharis. Translate that first. You know what to do? You have a clue. What Socharis meant? Bahat, as I told you. To be Bahat is either the Cherokee tribe, or some other Indian tribe, I don't have a clue what Ba'at might be. It's an Indian tribe, doesn't it again? Like some Indian tribe. Anyway, he said you have as much time, but within the day, you have to translate the entire possible word, otherwise not getting to the country. Now, I don't know if that's the criteria in America. Trump has other criteria, I won't get into it. But he has other criteria that are even more fascinating than this fellow. I gotta be careful here. Anyway, so I try to be always politically correct, and I'm generally pretty much politically correct. Not as much as you, because you are Canadian. So
he doesn't want to be in the country. It's so hard.
I'm quite aware of that. You can understand why after the easy, cheesy, peasy quiz.
I looked it up.
He's frightened of you. Bush is frightened of you. I'm not sure to be happy. We have two Australians in my show today. I don't know their names, but very, very nice guys. Really, really wonderful, wonderful. Such Bakovnik people. I was very, very taken by them. I actually gave a shiur that Shal Shuvas. I'm discussing the, based on, I mentioned, how do you handle Bitochen versus Shtadlus. I've been saying about five shurim I did so far, and how the maskara is pretty straightforward, that depending on your level of Bitochen, Hashem is Baruch, that's the amount of Shtadlus you have to go ahead. I think it's the more or less the... it's not just Beisalevi, it's also Kiman and Chavis Habavah. So maybe I'll show you take this tack. Okay, but that's not here nor there. But anyway, these two Australians were very participatory in the entire discussion, which was really beautiful. Very, very, very refined, genteel people. So I asked them, what's going on over there with all those raging fires? And they're like, so want to give me a whole scientific explanation of what's happening over there. But anyway, so the Australians, the Canadians, no, the Australians, they won't take them in because they play with kangaroos all day. And you were easy, schmeezy, queasy, peasy, etc.
That's a British thing from like a Lemmy commercial in the 50s.
Ah,
okay. That's what I...
You've just redeemed yourself. Anyway, so this Rebbe was sweating bullets. That's what he told me. He tried to remember which Gemaras are these psukim found, are these words found in. I'm not joking. It was crazy. He finally was able to trace every word, kemat, to a different Masechta Chas, which means he knew this word is in Zvachim, and this word is in Saita, and this word is in Yerushalmi. And this, we know the Babi Yerushalmi, this guy. We didn't know what the Babi was or the Yerushalmi was. In this day, the great Rebbe, we didn't have a clue what was going on. So there's hope, obviously, for everyone else, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, at the end of the day, he was able to somehow put it together, and he promised himself that the moment I get into the country, I'm going to learn Tanakh. When I met him in the many years later, he was a new Tanakh by heart, Mila b'mila. I'm not joking. I never saw such a kiss in Tanakh. I didn't realize what kind of a lam that he was. That I didn't see, unfortunately. We learned Meruba, Shalom. So Meruba was not my cup of tea, so I can find it when I left up to the Shalal students here. Not their cup of tea. I'm not sure what their cup of tea is. Probably the cup of tea is a cup of tea. That's about it. I mean, they only want to learn are the brachos. What else?
Azari.
What?
Azari.
They learned actually Azari. They learned Azari. That's a beautiful parak, a gorgeous parak. But anyway, so he got in and he said he'll learn Tanakh. So I got once again, just coming back to the Tanakh issue, it's good I don't learn Tanakh. How much time should you devote to Tanakh? I would say 15 minutes a day. If you do it, you can learn Tanakh every year, probably. I imagine you could probably learn 2 or 3 parak of Tanakh. Shalom Aleichem, Shavua Tov. I extended myself in order that I should be able to be zecha to devote to you.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, so back over here. So here we have again. So here's what I said a moment ago. I just want to indicate. First, we said maybe Rosh Rabbeinu made a mistake when he said to Yeshua not to be manning the door alone together with this Kenyan. And Hashem Baruch Hu corrected his mistake. That's the Pashut Pshat Lechura. You have to read the Pesukim. Of course, that's wrong because Rosh Rabbeinu could not have made a mistake. Chas v'shalom. Because Rosh Rabbeinu was speaking about, as I said, two different what I call the two different aspects of Yeshua. This is the dialectical element. I have our translated the word Rabbi Abbott, dialectical. How do I translate it? Tzvei Dinim. Okay, everyone knows Tzvei Dinim. Everyone knows what Tzvei Dinim is, so then we don't have a problem, right? Everyone knows what Tzvei Dinim is. Is that translate Tzvei Dinim? Tzvei Dinim. Okay. but basically, he's saying the following. He said two aspects of Yeshua ben Nun. One is as a military, general type of personality. Another is someone who is a Rosh Sanhedrin. And again, here it depends on what aspect we're talking about. And that's what means that which is relevant to Kibush Haaretz, to conquering Eretz Yisrael. So you are the, what they call him, the Mefaked Elyon. You are the chief general. The other one actually is going to be in charge. You're the posek. Nobody can argue with you. And there, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously did not make a mistake, and I should have got it wrong, corrected. But rather, each one was talking about a different role of Yeshua ben Nun. That's the Poshib Shad in the Pesukim. Namely, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about Yeshua as a Rosh HaSanhedrin, as a head of Sanhedrin. Moshe Ein Kein, Hashem is talking about Yeshua as what? As a melech, as a king. Now, the reason why I say all this is because there's a very famous briskalov. I imagine maybe some of you learned the Chiddush Agriz al Torah. It's a sefer that's kedai to become aware of for those of you who are into learning Chumash, and it's a very, very fascinating sefer, a very lomdashir kind of sefer. So he has a famous pshat over here. Maybe I'll share that with you, and I'll go back to the topic at hand. He says here something very, very fascinating. Just go back to the pesukim if you don't mind. Here, Vayikra Moshe Yoshua, again, Pasuk Zayin, ויום אלוהים, והנה כל ישראל חזק ואמץ, be strong, כי התור תבוא אצלם הזה, and Rashi said that you will go with the nation, Moshe said to Yeshua, this Canaan will be with you, הכל ובידייתם בעצוסם, הקדוש ברוך הוא, טוב יהושע, פסוק רב גימו, כי התור תביא את בני ישראל, תביא על כל חם, everything is totally on you, take a stick and whack them over the head, one dabor, so the question is, did Moshe said what he say on his own? It was said based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Piagura. Clearly Hashem was the one who directed traffic, and it's obviously Torah, so it looks like a stira. And so here's what the Brisker Rav says, that he writes, and this is what in Chiddush HaGri is Ala Torah, over there in Parsha Vayelech, I believe it is, that's what he writes to the Brisker Rav. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Melech. We know that. How do you know Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Melech? Anyone know from a Pasuk Chumash? If you know this Pasuk, that's really a sign you know Chumash well. Even as Machlokes in that Pasuk Chumash, what's referring to? Excellent, of course. I didn't ask Rabbi Avick to answer, but Baruch Hashem. Vayibishur Melech, Misasi Moshe Rabbeinu, Abishu Tei Yisrael. Some say the Pasuk refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as a Melech. Some say it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech. But actually, the Rambam quotes in Pesach Chira, the Rambam pens in the Halacha very clearly, Moshe has a Din Melech, he's also Rosh Sanhedrin. That's what Rambam writes in Hillel Sanhedrin. And we find by Yeshua also that he's a Melech. How do we see that in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yeshua? You undoubtedly encountered that, game, that when it says over there, Kol Ish Asher Yamar Yispichad Yumas, whoever is going to violate the words of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. That means he has a Merv and Malchus, Yischai B'Misa, and that's a Din Dafka by Melech. But he was also the Rosh Sanhedrin. So now, one of the chilukim between Melech and Rosh Sanhedrin is that Rosh Sanhedrin has the koach to be done. When does he have the koach to be done? If he's sitting together with Sanhedrin. If he's sitting together on the Sanhedrin, Lishka Gozis, then he has the right to be done. By himself, he has no koach lodun. Mashenkin the Melech, of course, the Melech can operate in authoritarian kind of fashion. He operates alone. The Melech has the ability to go ahead and do whatever he needs, whatever he has to do. And obviously, the Melech also has another aspect in the Tzibur of Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin can only judge al pi HaTorah. They can only judge based on, essentially, the Mishpatim that are written in the Torah. Mashenkin the Melech, he has a capricious aspect to him. He can act with caprice. He's someone who has an authoritarian. He can do whatever is necessary. Whatever he sees, Kvi Masha'in of Ros, that's a Midin Malchus, that's a core, that's what means a Melech. So now, the Brisker Rav goes on, I'll just try to briefly explain what he says. He says, Rashi, here's what Rashi means. Rashi means the following. Rashi says over here that we know that when a Melech has to be appointed by a Navi, and to be appointed by Rosh Sanhedrin, there are no dinim. The Aloch is the greatest of the Sanhedrin, the greatest Talmud Chacham becomes the Rosh HaSanhedrin. So it comes down when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua, here, Ki Ato Tavo Esalam Hazeh, the first Pasuk again, Pasuk Zayin, when he tells him that, so in effect, and Rashi says over here, it's Kenim Shevador Yuim Cha, that you're going to do it together with this Kenim in the generation. Nakol if we died in Vatsasa, Moshe told Yeshua, you're going to be the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And Kenim and the Sanhedrin will also be with you. Because in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, you have to have all this Kenim with you. Sanhedrin works together as a unit, as a group. All the members of the Sanhedrin come together in order to examine whatever issue they're going to examine, and they paskin, whatever they have to paskin. And that's what Moshe, in effect, indicated to Yeshua ben Nun. That Moshe Rabbeinu said on his, as I said, Mashenga HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he tell Yeshua? Ki ato tobi esorav azeh al korcham, hakol toli b'cha. That's a din melech. And a melech can operate by himself, and does not require any assistance, does not require any other people with him. That's what the Brisker Rav is miyashin this pasha. Okay, but I'm not telling you have to doctor follow what the Brisker Rav said. I'm going back to the simple pshat, and the whole point I'm trying to make here in this entire discussion is with reference to what I said before regarding Ephraim and Menashe, and that's what I'm going to go back to right now. Namely, I want to stress this particular yesod, and that is the yesod, of course, is that Torah, my favorite verb, trumps Malchus. My favorite verb the last 4 years. Everything to me is A, trumping B, and trumping, and there's also another actually word that I also learned from him, and that is, even though I don't do much of that, well, that's probably not true. I'm busy tweeting all the time. And except I tweet verbally, that's what I do, as opposed to tweeting on machinery. Anyway, so I'm tweeting, and tweet, like the chirping of the birds. But Torah is more significant than Malchus, that's the Yesod Godol. And the reason why I say this is because often we are challenged by this conflict, or by this confrontation. Namely, Yosef was challenged by this. What did Yosef think, al pi svara, that who should take precedence, Menashe over Ephraim? Why? Pasha. Because Menashe is a Melech. He's a Mani. He's the supervisor of my home. He's in charge of my domicile. And Yosef felt the tzorach of malchus is something which obviously is an overriding factor, more than Torah. What does Yaakov Avinu tell him? You are incorrect. You're making an error, you're making a mistake. Torah adifa mimalchus. So Yosef, of course, accepts what his father told him. He's mekabel what his father told him. But as I said, this is not a simple matter, and this matter comes up kol hayom, kol halayla, and shailos and halacha that we confront on an ongoing basis. One of the most probably difficult questions that anyone who goes to yeshiva, shana aleph, shana beis, whatever it may be, is the following issue, which all you are familiar with, some more than others. A shana aleph student comes here to the yeshiva, often many of them come. What is b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta? Why am I spending my whole day on b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta? Why do I care about Eidim Asir and Eidim Hasima? I think there are people here learning chulin, so maybe we could use examples from Asana school, and that might be better. Who cares whether Reichel Milsa, Reichel Ad Milsa? Who cares about Nesim Tam Livgam? To me, it sounds like it's all Livgam, from beginning to end. Who cares about Tzori is a Benyema and not a Benyema? Why should I care about Chatzich Nas Tevela or not Nas Tevela? Why am I talking about seemingly abstract topics that have no relevance to my life whatsoever? Why am I getting involved in it? What's the point of it? The person starts learning, and you realize there is a fire behind Chatzich Nas Tevela, and a fire behind Nesim Tam Livgam, and a fire behind Derech Bishul Asot Teva. There's a fire, an ish. The ish of Teva. And there's such a beautiful, once you begin to get a bit of an understanding, a whiff, what I call the Re'ach HaTorah, Halavai Deshikamad, Abshalom, the Re'ach HaTorah, Abyssal Shmek, of Torah. That's not an easy thing to acquire. It takes many, many years of learning Torah to acquire that Re'ach. And while you're on the way, you're fighting all your other environmental elements and all the values that you've had till now, because unfortunately, to a large extent, Torah and the values of the Western world are antithetical one to the other. Diametrically opposed. Not only diametrically opposed, they're almost in such conflict, it's a juggernaut that almost cannot be resolved unless a person, over a period of time, takes many, many years, acquires a proper hashgavas hatorah, and often the person is confronted. And now the problem I'm raising with you is the famous problem. Shana aleph boys gets into learning, and now after 6, 7, 8 months, of course, it's helped by the stints and papagayos and all the incentivization, all the shalom, the shmos, and all the whole business. Beautiful. And the Ragalach writ large in par excellence, and you are essentially, you become one big chapanash. But along the way, you acquire some Torah. That's good. So the Tosha, Lo Lishma, Bo Lishma. It's wonderful. And now you decide, I'm staying the second year. But then you have Papa and Mama, Abba and Ima, whatever you call them. What else do we call them here?
Mom
and Dad, thank you. And they don't necessarily agree with this position. Now, they do not agree with it. Sometimes they are in violent disagreement with it. Violent is the correct word. Why are we paying so much money? What are you doing here? You are just wasting your time. You're just reading a bunch of words from ancient tomes that have no relevance to people's lives. Where's the tachlis of all this? There's no tachlis.
How do they know that word?
They should know it because it's in Darash Rashi said in one of the English excerpts. Gerov said a whole shiur about what he called a Grava Tachlis. Grava Tachlis means everything is money. Mammon, that is the god of Mammon. That's all it's all about. Vahakesev Yane Atakol. That's what the Pasuk says. I changed the Pasuk, I changed it. Vahakesev Yane Atakol. It means that Kesev alters the truth and Kesev is everything. Money is everything. Many years ago when we first came to the yeshiva, so there were people who came out of here once in a while, doctors, maybe a few lawyers, like professional people. So now there's only one interest: finances, investments, accounting. That's it. No doctors, no lawyers. Come on, none. Maybe one or two high-tech people, because they have no personalities and no, you know, they're probably dead. Talk to machine. I got some talk to astronauts. But other than that, that's what we have over here. So now you're confronted by that issue. The Shana Al guy. Speaks to his parents, but I want to learn. Why do you want to waste our money? There's a tachlis. You got to get on in life. Go to university, get degrees. And I'm not someone who's opposed to getting degrees. I'm not someone who's opposed to university. I'm not someone who's opposed to a person getting a practical profession. I just have problems with having courses and things like that. Just a minor little stuff along the way that you pick up, and all kinds of other values that are so distant from what the Torah is all about, that that's the difficulty. So now you're really in a pickle. Is that the proper expression in Canada?
Yeah.
In a Gus's pickle.
I think they say you're in a lemon.
Oh, in a lemon, okay. And now you have to go ahead and try to convince your parents, or try some way to get a rabbi to convince your parents that's a graduate of Rosh Hashiva, but somehow to a shraga, that he should speak to parents, or whatever it may be, and that's what goes on. But eventually, Baruch Hashem, many, many young men like yourselves, Baruch Hashem, finally absorb the Reich HaTorah. Some it takes a bit longer, some it takes a bit less. It's an ongoing conflict, because you're involved in conflict with the Western world and with Western values that are so distant from what Torah is all about. Kimat, I would say, kirchoik mitzvach mimara. As far as East is distant from West. Anyone who has a sense of the Kedusha of Torah, the Tara of Torah, knows the difficulty. So here, I'm just giving you an example of Yosef HaTzadik. He was a great tzaddik. There aren't too many of the personalities in Tanakh who are known as HaTzaddik, and Yosef is one of them. By the way, the Rambam, once in Mishneh Torah, uses that lashon regarding Yaakov Avinu. Shari Yaakov HaTzaddik! Ova b'chol kreisha. I heard from Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal many, many years ago, 50 years ago. He quoted that Rambam. I had a lot to do with Avraham Soloveitchik, one of my famous stories. Someone came out, there's not a week that goes by, someone tells me you appeared in Mishpacha magazine and all kinds of things like that, so I became infamous. Thank God they didn't use my name, Baruch Hashem, otherwise it would have been in the end. Then they also made about 7 mistakes in the retelling the story. Okay, that's the way it happens usually. But anyway, so the Rabban quoted that Rambam Hilchus Yaakov Atzadik Ovi B'chol Kochi Ki B'chol Kochi Avad Atzis Avichem Oyisi Bayom Machalani Chariyo V'kech Baloi Levati Nashnosi Meinoi. All that very famous book. Anyway, my point is that we are constantly in conflict regarding many, many issues. Now the question is, how do we pass it? So are we sufficient B'nai Torah that we're able to have a proper hashkafa and a proper understanding of what to do? So that's why I say the Charav is a very significant issue in a person's life. And I was there, Baruch Hashem, I made for myself, I was there to learn by Gedolei Yisrael. I don't know if everyone here would agree, but I think they were Gedolei Yisrael, the Fiyan was Daiti. One was a grandson of Abchaim Briska, not too bad. Talmud of his father, Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal. The other was the Talmud Mufug of Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, and other such rabbeim that I was able to learn from. And it took many years to acquire a proper Hashkavas HaTorah. Not a simple matter, because life is very complicated. So my whole point here is the following. Namely, here we have what seems to be a conflict between Torah and Malchus. Yosef has one position, Yaakov has another position. At the end, Yaakov's position is the correct position. That's the proper Hashkafa. And all of us, irrespective, as I said, of what we become in life. And that, of course, as you know, is there are many, many different professions that one could hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, succeed in getting a panasa and the like, and that's what one should do. There's an obligation to go and support your family. That's a clear obligation that's mentioned in my ksuba. I have to learn ksuba, so I got married. Not just the first 9 blot. I learned the whole masechta. And the veil I discovered is a mitzvah to support your wife and family. My wife is happy about that. So it says, "I'm not eflach ve'ezor ba'farnis," and so I understand what that meant. And therefore, as a result, I realized the necessity to go ahead and do so. I want to mention just another very significant aspect, which I'm going to talk about. But go ahead, Rabbi Avraham.
In the Tosafot Yerushalmi, that you're able to make a tenai in your ksuba that you'll learn Torah and she'll support you.
Yes.
Yeah. So why don't we all just do that?
If the woman is, shall we say, happy to do that, you can do whatever you wish. What's the problem?
Rashi, we're having something from Shlissel Chalas.
What was that?
Having something from Shlissel Chalas.
You don't know this.
Well, I have to plead the Fifth Amendment at this point. But anyway, okay, that's one you saw I wanted to share with you. Now, I don't know, 72 minutes has not passed yet. I hope you continue to eat or something. So otherwise, we'll have a shayla and halacham. So please have some more pizza. You have to finish it, otherwise, inshallah, baltashka, and then more left.
It's a full pack.
What?
Can we take a break
in this? Of course, we'll take a break.
No, we'll eat more pizza.
Whatever you like.
We'll eat more.
I want to share another yisod, which I think is also important. Hashkafa.
We all want to hear from him.
Okay, well, we can take a break. Fine.
Wait,
good. I'll be a little bit shorter because I have to leave. I have a meeting afterwards about 11 o'clock, so I have to be there. I'm involved with a new school, so. somehow they appointed me, and we did Zach and the other side of the was the Pesach and the Rav of the school. Anyway, I just want to convey another idea, which I think is also very important to yourself in Hashkafa. In the bracha given to Reuben in Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Tes, Mem Tes Gimel. So you're all familiar with this. It says, Reuben b'chori ata, koti bereshis oni, yeser se'eis v'yeser oz. And if you show me, a sefer called, you show it to me. Rashi Kipshuta. Who showed it to me?
Yeah.
You show it to me. So actually, one of my children had the sefer today. You did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. So I can get it tomorrow whenever it's good for you. So today I saw that sefer, and then he showed me another sefer. Oh boy, there's no shortage. Called Sima Befihim. You ever saw that sefer? It's like a collection, a composite. I learned the sefer today, the one that you purchased for me, thank you. How much do I owe you? You have to tell me. Oh, I don't have my money with me, so tomorrow will be another. Anyway, so both of these svarim really examine Rashi and the Pesukim very, very carefully. It's amazing. I mean, you really have to spend, if you want to know Chumash, you have to spend hundreds of hours on it. Yeah, I think you would do that probably, if I'm not mistaken, Ari. At least you did in the past. Anyway, so this pasuk is a difficult pasuk to translate. Every word. Ruvein b'chori ata, that we know. Kochi b'reshis only Rashi. Yesa se'es v'yesa oz. And we know that Ruvein was supposed to really, we learned the Targum here on the spot. The Targum tells us that Ruvein was supposed to be the recipient of three brachas. The Targum says it explicitly. But we're talking about over here. All the three brachas he was supposed to receive. Number one, Rashi says, Rashi mentions it also, but it's in the Targum. Kahuna, Malchus, and Pishnayim. Should have been the Kohen. Should have been the Melech, and also the double portion of Nachlan Eretz Yisrael. What happened? Pachas Kamayim Maltosar. What happened? How did he translate Pachas Kamayim? Impetuosity. Because he was impulsive, because of the Midah of Pachzus, so that's why he won't be Zochet to be above his brothers. And all the Ruchnias Nigamaglas will be given to others. Kahuna is given to whom? Shevi Levi. Malchus is given to whom? Shevi Yehuda. And Pishnayim is given to Yosef. Yosef, his children, that they received one chedet to Menashe, one chedet to Ephraim. So, what happened? Where was the impulsivity? Ki alisa mishkeve avicha. If you remember the psukim in Bishalach, look in Bishalach for 1 second. Let's show you in Perek Lamed Hei, the Torah says, Perek Lamed Hei, Bishalach, Pasuk, Ma'ishlach, not Bishalach, I meant Ma'ishlach, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chabbez. Lamed Hei Chabei. The Pasuk says here, Vayelach Ruvein, Vayishkab Yisgilach Yilegesh Ovi. What's the literal translation of that Pasuk? Ruvein went and translated Lashon Tzaginar, consorted with Bilhah, the Pilegesh of his father. It says Vayishkab. So what did Chazal say? Gemara Shabbos and Nehem Beis. Gemara says, Kadoime Ruvein Chota, Ein Olotaya. Whoever says that Ruvein made a mistake, or Ruvein sin is making a dreadful error. So the Chura, what is the Gemara saying? The Pasuk says very clearly, Ruben Chota, he sinned. And Yaakov Avinu indicates that he sinned. Pachas Kamayim Maltosar, Kiyolisa Mishudei Avicha. Oschi Lalte Yitzui Allah. So how can Chazal say, Kolome Ruben Chota Eino Latoya? So of course the answer is, it doesn't mean that Ruben did not sin. He did sin. But he didn't sin with the Chet HaKosubo. The sin that's mentioned in the Pasuk, that was not the sin that Ruben committed. Because the Pshutah Shemikro indicate that that's the sin. Everyone knows what the word shachav means. So the little pshuta shemikra seems to indicate otherwise. But Chazal indicate that's not correct. The chet he committed was much lighter, much more lenient than the one that's mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. What was the chet? So the Gemara has in Shabbos two opinions. This is one of the favorite topics of people in the world of Tanakh and the academic world. Many svarim have written on this topic. And I just want to share with you what I believe is the correct hashkafa that one should see from the perspective of the Torah. There are two opinions, Chazal. One opinion, Gemara said in Shabbos, he wanted to sin, but at the end of the day, he didn't. It says, Vayishkav. The Pasuk says, Vayishkav. So we'll have to deal with that in a second, hopefully, if we have time. The second day, the Gemara says that he didn't even have a machshava of such a chet. Even a thought to do such a chet did not in any way enter his mind. The whole chet was, Lashon Gemara, Shebilbel Matzo Shelovit. That's what Rashi quotes in Chumash. If you have the Rashi, you can read it. that and the Gemara says Mabel Akosav Kiilo Shachavima, but he did not even have such a mashava. Because the first opinion says that, as I mentioned, that he wanted to sin with Bila, but at the end he did not do so. And the second indicates, as I told you a second ago, even a mashava of such a chet did not occur to him. So what happened? What was the bilbul? So Rashi has a famous, you know the Rashi, all of you know this. When Rachel died, so Yaakov decided to take his bed, which was always in the tent of Rachel, and out of the other tents, and planted where? In the tent of Bila. Decided to put it in the Bila's tent. So now Reuben came along, it was Tovei El Banima. Reuben had a tiger on his father. His father, he was very upset. His mother, of course, is Leah. He said, Rashi quotes it over here, that if Achos Imi, if the sister of my mother, namely Rachel, Hoysa Tzara Le'imi, she was a Tzara. A Tzara, as you know from Shai's Nirvamas, is another wife. If she is another wife to my mother Leah, Shivchas Achos Imi, the Shivcha of the sister of my mother, Bila, Te Tzara Le'imi. In Mishnah by Rachel, I understand why she's a Tzara to my mother. Because Rachel is also among the Imos HaKdoshos. There's Rachel and Leah. They are obviously a very important set of sisters, Rachel and Leah. But Bila, she's a Shivcha Rachel. She should be a Tzara, someone who's competed with my mother. That's what Rashi quotes from Chazal. Of course, Bila is a Tzadeka. She's not saying she's not a Tzadeka, but she's not my mother. She's not among the Imos HaKdoshos. So that which drove Reuven to do what he did was what? So what did he do? He decided to move the bed. That's what Rashi quotes in Chumash from the Gemara. And yet, Chazal clearly take Reuven to task. What he did was incorrect, was inappropriate. He should have thought more about the covenant of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is his father. Yaakov is his Rebbe. Yaakov is the Gol Hador. Yaakov is the Navi. Yaakov is someone with so many, elements and attributes. He should have been smoking on his father Yaakov Avinu. And if he decides to go ahead and live with Bila during the course of his mother's Leah lifetime, certainly he has some sort of shikul. And Rashi actually says over here, when he comments on this, I'll read it to you. Kachar Yaakov Oseh Biabo Olei Noshov Mamin Mito L'Shechina. Yaakov, where did he put his bed? Wherever he saw the Shechina. And that's where he stayed that night. But even if Reuben was not aware of that and didn't realize what his father was thinking about, but he should have asked him, they're covered, and have to go ahead and decide to do things on his own. The fact that he did things on his own, that was something which is absolutely inappropriate, not correct at all. Of course, he was motivated by what? By Kiburayim. He wanted to show the parents to his mother. Here's another example of an area, and here we're talking about not a simple person. We're talking about someone of incredible stature, Reuven, one of the Shvatim. And I just want to explain to you why there's a such important hashkafa over here, that somehow the world, even the sometimes even people in the Orthodox world, don't understand. One of the rayas that there was no aver of arayas over here, the Maisa Bilo, on the part of Reuven, is the fact that what does Yaakov say here in the Pasha? Yaakov the Pasha says to Reuven, Reuven b'chori ata, kochi bereshis oni, pachas kamayim al tosar, ki alisa mishke ve'avicha oschi lalta yitzu ilo. What does it mean, pachas kamayim? As I said, pachas means what? You are impetuous, you are impulsive, you didn't think through things carefully. What should he have said to him? According to my humble opinion, if he'd been violating Arias, he should have said to him, you blankety blankety blank. I'll fill in the blanks. You adulterer? No'ef is the proper word in Hebrew. What else could he have called him? You tummy shibitzmeyin? You're someone who defiled someone and you are defiled and on and on. You mushchas guy? He translated mushchas? Low life.
Disgusting.
Thank you. So the fact that Yaakov did not say that, so what does it show you? And apparently it wasn't Aveir of Arayus. What was the Aveir? Pachas Kamayim. He didn't act with proper thinking. He didn't think the matter through carefully. He was impetuous. He was impulsive. And a Melech, of course, he was supposed to be a Melech and a Kohen and Pishnayim. A Melech cannot be Paziz. Cannot be someone who acts impetuously. He has to be carefully. Think things through. They accuse, I believe, a certain president, if I'm not mistaken, that he does not think anything through. He went ahead and decided to get rid of that terrorist who killed, I don't know, thousands of people, I imagine, Soleimani. And of course, now you have, besides the Democrats, and that, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. They're a bunch of, according to my humble opinion, nitwits. Whatever the case is, I'm being polite. So anyway, so they're not doing themselves except to undo get rid of the present, that's their main interest in life, that's the only interest, nothing else. And for that they're paying massive sums of money, I don't get it. Okay, and I'm more or less really, years ago I used to vote Democratic Party, but I became, it looks like over the years, more towards the Republican side, if you want to somehow identify where I am in terms of issues and the like. But I'm only saying that because in a similar fashion, that's what they're trying to do here to the Prime Minister of the State of Israel, also to undo him and more or less get rid of him. So I'm just going back to Amelech. Amelech has to think things through very carefully before he goes to war, before he kills Saris, and on and on and on. There's a Rashi, Rashi says in Chumash. But again, just to show you why I'm coming where I'm coming from. There's a pasuk in Chumash. This is good to see this pasuk. There's a pasuk in Dvarim. If you look at Dvarim, where should be? Chazayin? In that area. Yes, it is in Chazayin, Baruch Hashem. What pasuk is it? Chazayin, pasuk Yigimel. This is on Chavzayim. One second, maybe I don't have the right question again. Here it is. Yeah, I'm sorry. I made a mistake on the Pasuk Chav. Pagination 495 in Varim. Aru Shochev in Eishes Aviv. Person who goes and consorts sexually with his father's wife. So Chazal says, it's a Gemara in Shabbos right over there. Efshar is a Pasuk. Osit Zaro Lamar Al Harevo. Reuben's children are going to stand on Har Ebal, and they're going to say, Oru Shoichev v'meshes Aviv, and that chet is going to be something that's committed by him. If he committed that chet, how can they make such a statement? Oru Shoichev v'meshes Aviv. You know, when unfortunately and tragically, sometimes there are even very great rabbinic figures involved in things that are really just mind-boggling to imagine to get involved in. You probably have some idea what I'm talking about, I imagine. And Enochachil Hashem, Godom is there. What greater Chil Hashem could there be? So now, if Reuven's children were to be in violation of Oru Shoichev v'meshes Aviv, and sitting, standing on Har Ebal and saying this, these psukim over there in Dvarim, that would be absolutely catastrophic. Furthermore, as you know, what happened with Yosef Atzadik, the Gemara in Saita? Some of you are familiar with this Gemara. He was about to commit a sin with Eshet Potiphar. So what did Chazal say? Vasa Dvus Yugda Shalavi. His father appeared to him in a kind of dream of sorts. In the Chalom, and he said, Yosef, your brothers are going to be written on the Avnei Ha'efo, and you will not be together with them if you commit such a dastardly act with Eshet Potiphar. You will not be in the Cheshen, on the Efo, where all the Shvatim are inscribed. And so what do you say? That it's clear that since Reuben is still there on the Efo, on the Cheshen, obviously he cannot possibly commit the Shechet of Arayis. But I want to show you something, but here you have to know a little diktuk, and appreciate the Ksav HaKabbalah. There's a Perush on Chumash called Ksav HaKabbalah. It's not published in this on the art scroll. Listen, I couldn't publish everything here. So what do you want from them? But he has a very famous diak, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Becklenburg. He's a Meridika Parsha, one of the most famous of all the Parshani HaMikra. And one day, Mitzvah Hashem, with easy, over the years, I've tried to learn different Parshanim every year. I spent most of my life learning Rashi and Ramban. I continue to do so. But then one year I devoted to Rabbeinu Bechai, one year I devoted to Sforno, 1 year to 2 or 3 years to Ibn Ezra, and on, as I continue in my merry way, I try to learn each year a different parshan to the extent that I can. I don't learn all of them, but many of them I try to. So one fine year, I decided to look at the Aksava Kabbalah. I'm not going to see Mecklenburg, maybe they can save it. So he has a diuk in the pasuk over here, which is a very fascinating rabbi. You have to know diktuk well. He's mechalek between two verbs, the verb halicha and the verb bia. That these are two different words. The word halicha always refers to the parshan, leaving something. The word bia refers to entry. By the way, this is the discussion in the Gemara Brachos Da'beis Madal Beis Ma'beis that you are familiar with. Bia Hashem Shem Akmas Melech B'Truma Uba Hashem Shetoyah. What does that mean? That word Uba Hashem Shetoyah, an impossible pasuk. Pasuk impossible. Uba Hashem, the sun came B'Toher. The sun went to the mikvah, became Tohar. I'm just being cute. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Of course, it refers to the Gabra, offhand. Maybe it refers to the Yom, it refers to the day. The Gemara is tumbling back and forth. What about Hashem Shetoyah mean? So that's, you have to have a sense of diktuk and a sense of Hebrew, which is very helpful. Anyway, to make a long story short, if you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to meet Paro at the beginning of Shemos. So there are two Lashonos, and when he meets Paro outside the Armon HaMelech, outside the palace of the king, it says, Lechel Paro. And yet when he meets Paro in the king's palace, so then it says, Boel Paro. So the distinction between lech and bo is what I just explained to you. Halicha means departure. Bo refers to entry. So now take a look at here, Lamed Hechav Beis. By the Maaseh of Bilhah, the Torah says, Vayelech Reuven, Vayishkav is Bila Pilegesh Aviv. It doesn't say Vayava Ruvain. Vayelech Ruvain. So the Tzava Kabbalah is Bedayek. What did he do? Shaholach. He left the house. Isn't that an unbelievable deal? He left the house because that, again, he was doing something that you do outside the house, not something that you do inside the house. So obviously it wasn't the Maisa Ishus. It wasn't consorting with Bila. That was not what he was doing. But rather, he went and he indicated somehow about Bila. She's a Pilegesh. She's not his wife of his father. And she's not really Roy for the stature that he has, namely a wife of Yaakov Avinu. Anyway, there are many, many riots that indicate this, and I'm not going to go through now the whole Gemara and Shabbos, which you really have to go through, as opposed to asking me questions and somehow the Ragalach phenomena, which I've made famous, of course. My Ragalach, people want to learn called Torah Kula Regalachas, Ragalach, and that's basically the whole yeshiva. And that's not possible to do. You have to have a sense of panoramic vision and a sense of what's going on. So I just want to tell you that here is really something that you have to be familiar with and be aware of, and somehow you should absorb in your very bones. And I heard from first my Rebbe, I'm going to Nisim Alpes, that's all many, many decades ago. And from Rav Soloveitchik, Zechatzak Zebron, many decades ago. And the last number of years, I'm going to Adonis Sol Shlita, Sheyarach, Hashem Yarach Yom of Mishneisov, that also many, many times. The Gemara uses a funny lashon. Just translate that word. Whoever says Reuven committed a sin, Eino Elo Toya. Should the Gemara have said it differently? Kalaime Reuven Chata Toya. What does the Gemara have to say? Eino Elo Toya. Omar Rabbeinu will bother by that. What is the nature of that expression? What's Eino Elo Toya? As opposed to saying it directly and graphically and openly, Kalaime Reuven Chata Toya. So it seems that the Gemara is telling us something very, very fundamental. A person who says that Reuven committed a sin, not only is he making a mistake regarding the story of Bila, he is Toye Bechala Terekula. Efashtet Golisht. He knows nothing. He's essentially a nincompoop, if I can use that term. I would use other terminology, but I'm being recorded, so I won't. He's a total nincompoop. What is an nincompoop? Could you translate that out of Agra for us? They don't know what that word means.
Silly.
He's being polite. Someone who has absolutely no understanding of Chazal, of the Torah, of Tanakh, of anything. Why? Because the whole Torah teaches us. 1 second, let me just finish my point. The whole Torah is teaching us Kedusha and Tumah are two opposites. They are so far from each other, so distant from each other. Wherever a person learns Torah, why am I learning Torah? Because I'm learning Torah to acquire Kedusha, to become an Ish Kadosh, to become someone who is a holy person, who has Machshavas Kedushas, Machshavas of Torah, who wants to connect to Hashem as Barach. And what is the world of Tumah all about? Pumfakir, Shnei HaFochim, the very opposite, the very antithesis of what Kedusha is all about. We are living in a world of pure Tumah, unsullied Tumah. Tumah! We are flooding. We are in a cesspool of Tumah. We are wallowing in Tumah. We're in a quagmire of Tumah. The ganze Welt! All around us! And trust me, he's in the Beis Medrash as well. You'll ask the Mashiach HaKadosh. He'll tell you about it. It's not possible for Kedusha and Tumah to live together. It's a paradox. So it's not possible that a person could be nichshel in such an avera chamura, vayelech Reuven, vayishkav es Bila, vayelegesh Aviv, such a taiva, so low, and such a low life mahalach, and yet he's going to be written on the Avnei HaChishen v'Haefei, the Zikaron of Hashem. You hear what I'm saying? It's not possible, such a notion. And whoever thinks such a thing, and unfortunately there are many people who think that way about David HaMelech, I'm going to go through the whole list. David and Batsheva, I knew he was going to right away raise that issue, which I can't discuss, Ragalach, as I explained to you many times.
All I was going to say is that it says in Alatoa there, but we have Machlokes in Suva Stav Tess. So you have another opinion who...
Well, Avrik, I wasn't born yesterday.
I know.
I have 30,000 few Gemaras that are familiar with that Gemara, and I also read many, many Sfarim that have been written on this topic, including by very prominent Rosh Yeshiva in a different part of the world, not too far from here, but whatever the case is... I'm aware of that Gemara in Suvis. I'm aware of the complexity of the issue, quite aware, and I've examined the matter probably for the last 40 years of my life. Anyway, I'm just telling you that the basic Hashgav, I can't go through all these Gemaras with them, because you, Baruch Hashem, are capable of handling all of this, and they're not holding that by that point yet. But my point simply, again, what Rabbi Avraham referred to, Kolayim David Chotei, I'll tell you also the same Gemara over there in Shabbos with Bathsheba. So not only are you telling you in the Havana of David, and Batsheva, Yetoya, and Havona, and Kol HaTorah Kulo. Am I speaking against some Rosh Yeshiva? Yes.
But you're also
speaking
against one of the
Shittos
in the Gemara
and Suvis. I am aware of the Gemara and Suvis. I told you I'm quite aware of it. And I indicated that this is something, I'll give you again, whatever the different theories are, there are a lot of theories over here, but one cannot possibly consider David HaMelech to be among the Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael, and we say Sefer Tehillim whenever we are in the strained circumstances and difficulty, there's no way. Had David committed a chet of that epic proportions, he would not be the name of Zeresh Yisrael. It's not possible. And somehow the Velt doesn't understand that. The Velt means good segments of the Orthodox Jewish world. Why? I'll tell you why they don't understand it. What was that? I'm not talking about it. You always find these, of course, you find this funny Rishonim that have no shaykhs to the classic reality of what it's all about. With all due respect, with taste, that doesn't do anything for me. The fact that you find Rishonim out of the box, you can find anything. I'm aware of the fact I know about that quite well. I also know a few other Rishonim also. They don't represent here the classical approach to this. That's Pashut. Okay, this is what I say. If you want to say Shir, say otherwise, just say it, go right ahead. It's a free world, it's a Baal B'chira, but I am saying what I heard from Dodi Olam in the last 50 years of my life, and this is Pashut to me, not just in this area, but in many other areas. So I'm just telling you, there are a lot of difficulties in Tanakh. That's why the Yeshiva world doesn't learn Tanakh, because there are too many difficulties there, and they have difficulty trying to find the Mahalach that will resolve a lot of these matters, but I'm trying to share with you what I consider to be fundamental Hashkafas HaTorah and a lot of these inyanim, and you obviously have to examine it, all of you, individually, collectively, however you go about doing it. Here's Shurim for Rabbi Avraham Shlita. He'll say Shurim for the next 25 years on the topic, and he'll find Baruch Hashem Rishonim from Idaho and Yehupitzville. I'll give you a slightly different perspective on the matter. I'm not saying that's not possible. I generally try to present what I consider to be the Hashkafas HaKolelos HaRoiv Dodi HaRishonim on this matter and other matters. Anyway, I'm not here to discuss this matter right now. I'm just simply indicating that life is mole v'gadush etgarin, all kinds of challenges, especially in the area of Hashkafa. And in order for a person to develop a proper Hashkafa, I tell you, you have to learn. What do you have to learn? You ask me. I'll tell you. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Dalcha, Vishal Noach, Svarim v'Vishayim, Sefer Mashava. You have to learn the Bechavis Havavis, Sefer Musa, Mesias Visharim, Chavis Havavis. And basically, you have to spend the next 30 years of your life learning. I'd say you should spend the next 100 years in this Hashem. But maybe in 30, you might get a Hashkafa. You might. Not necessarily. You have to learn by the right Babayim. You have to absorb Hashkafa from people who are mushrush in Torah, who are rushing very deeply in Torah. And then there are going to be many other conflicts you're going to have along the way. University is a major conflict. You probably figured that out by now. There are courses taught in university that are taught by people who don't have Hashkafa Satayim. They are mostly Amoratsin, mostly ignoramuses, who don't have a Ruach HaTorah, don't have a Reach HaTorah, and they may be knowledgeable in the fields of teaching, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're saying things that are in sync with Torah Hashkafa, and you have to be cognizant of that. And including places that I actually am send people to, and I'm happy to send people to, because they're outstanding Rosh Yeshiva there, but at the same time, you have to be on guard, you have to be Zohar regarding these matters. So this is a very, another important Yisod in terms of developing a proper Hashkafa. Go ahead.
Are there any secular books that the Shiva think advises